All right, so imagine this, right? You're at a marina, beautiful day. You're ready for like a relaxing day out on the water, and bam, suddenly there's an accident and you're injured.
Yeah.
It feels like it should be, open and shut case.
Right.
But then you find out the marina contract you signed has this clause in it that says they're not responsible no matter what.
Oh, wow.
That's what we're going to get into today in this deep dive.
Another wild one. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're looking specifically at this case, Broadley v. Mashpee Neck Marina Inc.
Yeah, this is a really fascinating case that really digs into this whole idea of exculpatory clauses, which are basically, those parts of a contract where a business tries to say, hey, if something goes wrong, it's not our fault. And in this case, it takes place in the world of admiralty law, which is, all about maritime activities.
Okay, so for everyone listening, the goal today is to figure out when these clauses, these get out of jail free cards you mentioned, when are they actually legit and when are they absolutely not? And this isn't some, theoretical legal mumbo jumbo. This is something that actually affects, anyone who signs a contract, especially if it's about boats, the water, anything like that.
Right, absolutely.
So we've got a few different sources to help us break all of this down for the listeners. We've got some potlatched analysis of the case, a really detailed legal brief. And then a standard legal brief, just to make sure we're looking at it from all angles.
That sounds good.
All right, so let's set the scene here.
Okay.
It's August of 2002, and we've got this guy, Mark Broadley, at the Mashpee Neck Marina.
Right.
He's walking along the docks, and his foot gets caught in a gap between like the main part of the dock and this floating section.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and it seems like, a little thing,
Yeah.
but it ends up fracturing his ankle, and sadly, it actually leads to some permanent, like, loss of function in his foot.
That's terrible.
So the mariner right away pulls out their defense, which is, of course, the seasonal mooring contract that Broadley signed, right?
Right.
And in this contract, we have an exculpatory clause. And this wasn't just some, like, narrow little clause. It was so broad.
Oh, wow.
It basically said the mariner was released from all liability
Yeah.
for anything, any claims stemming from, like, injury or damage. Didn't matter if it was their fault or not.
They just wanted to like completely get out of anything.
It was like they were trying to, build this legal shield to deflect anything that could possibly come their way.
A legal force field.
Yeah,
That's a
exactly.
good way to put it.
So Broadley obviously sues for negligence in federal court.
Makes sense.
And of course, the marina comes back with, nope, see, our contract says you can't touch us.
Right.
So what happens in that first ruling?
Okay, well, the district court. They kind of took a middle of the road approach. They looked at this huge clause and were like, whoa, hold on, this is way too much.
Yeah.
So they actually reformed the clause, which basically means they rewrote it to apply only to ordinary negligence, everyday carelessness. They basically said, okay, Marina, we won't let you completely off the hook for everything, but we will protect you from claims that are just like simple mistakes.
I see.
And then they granted summary judgment in favor of the marina, which basically means, case closed based on that reformed contract.
All right, so basically the district court gave the marina a partial win. They're not liable for just basic negligence in this instance.
Right.
But this isn't where the story ends, is it?
Nope, not at all.
Broadley obviously was not happy with this.
Right.
He appeals, takes it up to the First Circuit Court of Appeals.
Okay.
And this is where we get into the really, really meaty legal issues, the stuff that's fascinating for all of us.
Yeah, this is where it gets really interesting.
So what are like the big questions that the First Circuit had to grapple with?
Okay, so there were two major questions.
Okay.
The first one was whether exculpatory clauses, specifically the ones that try to get rid of liability for just ordinary negligence, the basic stuff, are those even allowed in admiralty law in the first place?
All
Like,
right.
can you actually contract away your duty of care in a maritime situation?
Gotcha. So that's a pretty fundamental question.
Totally.
Okay, and what about the second big question the appeals court had to consider?
All right. The second one was all about whether courts should be in the business of reforming these massive clauses, the ones that are trying to get rid of responsibility for everything, even for stuff like gross negligence or intentional wrongdoing.
Right.
Should they be rewriting these contracts basically to make them partially valid? Is that something courts should be doing?
That's a big one. It really gets into the the core of contract law and what it means to be held accountable for your actions.
Absolutely.
So, what did the First Circuit actually decide?
Okay, so they had two key holdings, basically their main conclusions.
Okay.
First, they said that yes, clauses trying to get rid of liability for ordinary negligence are generally enforceable in admiralty law. But, and this is a huge but, they said that this is usually only true when the parties have, like, equal bargaining power.
I see. So if one side has way more power, that could change things.
Exactly. It's like, imagine trying to haggle over the price of a candy bar versus, like, negotiating a huge loan for a house.
Right. Completely different situation.
Totally. The power dynamics are totally different.
That still makes sense.
Okay, so that was their first big conclusion.
Sure.
The second one was about the specific clause in Broadley's case, the one that was trying to exclude everything.
Right, the one that was super broad.
Yeah, exactly. And the First Circuit said, no, that clause is not going to be reformed or partially enforced.
Oh, so they overturned what the district court did.
Yeah, they basically said, nope, that clause is too much. We're not going to save it.
Wow, so this is where I really want to understand why. Why would they refuse to fix the Marina's clause? What was their reasoning?
Well, there were a few key reasons. The biggest one was public policy. The court basically said that clauses trying to get rid of liability for stuff like gross negligence and intentional wrongdoing, those are just against the basic principles of how our system works.
You can't just agree that it's okay for someone to be, like, reckless and face zero consequences.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So that was a big reason, public policy.
Okay.
The second big reason was that the contract was what we call boilerplate.
Oh. Huh.
Which means it was just a standard contract. You know, the Marina didn't sit down with Broadley and negotiate the terms of this clause. It was just pre-printed, take it or leave it.
Right, right.
So the court said, well, if it wasn't negotiated, how can we say that both sides actually agreed to something so extreme?
Yeah, if it's buried in the fine print and they never talk about it. It's hard to say that Broadley truly understood what he was agreeing to.
Exactly.
So public policy and this idea of it being boilerplate, not negotiated, what else led to their decision?
Okay, another big one was the lack of specific language. The clause never actually used the word negligence.
Oh, interesting.
It just used these broad terms like all liability for any claims. And while, yeah, that could technically include negligence, the court said it wasn't clear enough.
Right. So it's not enough to use super vague language. You have to be clear and direct.
Right. Especially when you're talking about something as important as negligence.
So the court's basically saying if you're going to try to get out of being responsible for your actions, you have to say so directly.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay. What else?
Okay, another factor was deterrence. The court didn't want to set a precedent where they were constantly fixing bad contracts.
Oh, I see.
They were worried that if they reformed this clause, businesses would just start writing even worse contracts, knowing that the court would come in and clean them up.
Right. They don't want to encourage sloppy contract writing.
Exactly. It's about holding people accountable for writing clear and fair agreements.
It makes sense. You don't want to reward bad behavior. Okay, so we've got public policy, boilerplate language, lack of specific wording, and this idea of deterring bad contract writing.
Yep, that's four.
Anything else?
Oh, yeah, one more thing. The contract also had this clause about attorney's fees.
Oh, right, right.
Which basically meant that if Broadley lost, he would have to pay for the Marina's lawyers.
Wow.
And the court said this made the whole thing even more unfair.
I can see why.
It's like you're already facing this huge clause trying to get rid of their responsibility. And then on top of that, you might have to pay their legal bills if you lose.
That's intimidating. You would make anyone think twice about even trying to fight back.
Exactly. And the court recognized that.
So it wasn't just the one clause in isolation. It was the whole context of the contract.
Right. They saw it as a very one-sided agreement.
Gotcha. Okay. So from all of that, from their reasoning, did the First Circuit come up with any specific things courts should look for when they're dealing with these kinds of clauses?
Yeah, they highlighted some key factors, although they didn't call it a formal test or anything.
Okay, well, this is important stuff for our listeners, especially those who are, you know, in law school or just starting out in their legal careers.
Absolutely.
What are the key things that the court pointed to?
They really focused on five main things.
Uh-huh.
The first one was the imbalance of bargaining power. You know, was there a huge difference in power between the two sides?
Right. Like, did the Marina have a monopoly or some other big advantage?
Exactly. And then the second one was the breadth of the clause itself. You know, did it try to cover more than just simple negligence?
So, like, was it trying to exclude liability for really serious stuff, too?
Exactly. Like, gross negligence, recklessness, even intentional wrongdoing.
Gotcha.
The third thing they looked at was whether the clause was boilerplate versus negotiated. You know, was it just a standard form or did they actually talk about it?
Right.
state.
And then the fourth one was whether the clause actually used the word negligence specifically.
So it's not enough to just use these vague terms. You have to be explicit.
Right, you have to spell it out. And then the last thing they considered was whether there were other parts of the contract that could discourage people from making legitimate claims.
Like that attorney's fees clause we talked about.
Exactly. They looked at the whole picture.
So it's not just about one clause. It's about the whole agreement and the relationship between the people involved.
Right. The context is everything.
That's really helpful. I think that gives our listeners a much clearer idea of what courts are looking for.
I hope so.
Now, you mentioned earlier that the court had some pretty strong opinions about this specific clause. Did they have any quotes that really stand out?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Let's hear them. What did the First Circuit say that really drives home their point?
One of the best ones is they said, any competent lawyer could write a straightforward exclusion of liability for negligence that we would sustain.
Wow. They didn't hold back.
Nope. They were basically saying that if the marina had just written a clear and limited clause, it would have been fine. It was a pretty direct criticism of the marina's lawyering.
So the marina basically messed up by being too greedy.
Yeah, pretty much.
What was the other quote?
Okay, this one's even more to the point. They said, the clause as written is vastly overbroad and against public policy.
That really sums up their whole issue with the clause, doesn't it?
Totally. It shows how far the marina went and how that crossed a line.
So it sounds like the big lesson here is that you can try to limit your liability for ordinary negligence, but you can't be careless about it.
Right. You can't just throw in a massive clause and hope for the best.
The courts aren't going to save you if you try to get out of every single responsibility.
Nope. You have to be careful and specific.
All right. So let's bring this all home for our listeners. What are the main takeaways from Broadly?
Okay. The big one is that these boilerplate clauses, the ones that are super broad and don't specifically say negligence, those are probably not going to fly in court.
Okay.
And the courts aren't going to rewrite them for you. It's up to the people writing the contracts to make them clear and fair.
So basically, be careful what you sign.
Yeah. And if you're the one writing the contract, be very careful what you put in it.
So admiralty law doesn't completely ban you from limiting your liability for basic negligence, but you have to do it the right way.
Right. You need clear language, a relatively level playing field between the parties, and you can't try to exclude everything under the sun.
It sounds like a pretty tough balancing act.
It can be, for sure.
And for all our law students out there, this case is a great example of why you need to pay super close attention to the language in contracts.
Yeah, especially those exculpatory clauses. Look for the word negligence and really understand what they're trying to exclude.
And always remember that even if a clause seems airtight, public policy can come in and shut it down.
Absolutely. There are limits to what you can contract away.
You know, this whole case, this whole conversation really gets you thinking about the bigger picture.
Right.
How do we balance freedom of contract, the idea that people should be able to agree to whatever they want, with the need to protect people from unfair terms?
Yeah.
Especially when one side has way more power than the other. It's something to keep in mind as you go out there and start working with contracts yourselves.
Definitely something to think about.
Thanks for joining me for this deep dive.
You got it. It was a good one.
Until next time.